godly wisdom. The book of Genesis, please, chapter 1 this morning. Genesis chapter 1. And also Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11, the third verse. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's read Psalm 11, verse 1. Psalm 11, third verse. And then we will read Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. And then we'll pray. Psalm 11, third verse reads, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" And then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the reminder that, yes, we need to trust in Thee, our God, our Lord, the anchor of our soul. We ask and pray, O God, as we continue to worship You this morning, that You would quicken our minds and that You would cause us to be attentive to Your Word, that we might be strengthened and have the assurance of a sure foundation in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Foundations are critical to any structure, the well-being of any structure. Genesis is the foundational book of the Bible. Genesis means beginnings. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It gives us the origin and meaning of life. One's belief about his origin will determine his beliefs about his purpose and ultimate destiny. And it's within the pages of Scripture that God answers those big questions, the big questions of life. And here within the book of Genesis, we find the foundation of the remainder of the Scriptures. It's so critically important that a person has a correct understanding of the book of Genesis and believes in the teachings of the book of Genesis. The Bible answers the big questions of life, and as we read and study through the book of Genesis, you'll find that all of the foundational doctrines that we just take for granted at times are rooted and grounded within this wonderful book. The Bible answers the big questions of life. The Bible is indestructible. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35, the Lord Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." The Word of God is indestructible. The Word of God is incorruptible. It will not decay. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 23 to 25, it teaches us that we are born again by the Word of God. The Bible is also indispensable. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." The Bible is infallible. Infallible. Totally dependable. And the Lord Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, "The word of God will not pass away unless every jot and tittle be fulfilled." It's totally dependable. The word of God is dependable. The Bible is also inerrant. That means the Word of God is without error. In John chapter 17, verse 17, "Thy Word is truth," said the Lord Jesus Christ. It is apart from error. You will find truth within the pages of the Holy Scriptures. And last but not least, the Bible is inspired and inspirational. The Bible is inspired and inspirational. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible teaches us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is inspired, and thereby it is inspirational. Oh, the Word of God is inexhaustible as well. We'll add that as well. In Psalm 92, verse number 5, "Thy thoughts are very deep," said the psalmist concerning his God. "Thy thoughts are very deep." And you can read this Bible day in, day out, year in, year out, and God will still reveal treasures of truth. Gold nuggets. I've been a Christian now for 36 years by the grace of God. I'm as saved today as what I was 36 years ago. Nothing has changed. I read this Bible no less than 36 times, and I find no errors therein, but I find that it is inexhaustible in truth, and I'm still learning things from the Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God, indestructible, incorruptible, indispensable, infallible, inerrant, inexhaustible. It's the inspired Word of God. And in Psalm 19, verse 7, the Bible reads, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And here within the Word of God, the very first book, contained within the Word of God, we have the answers to the big questions of life. The Word of God answers the question concerning origins. The origin of the universe, first and foremost. The origin of the universe is explained as the creation of God, that God created all things in 6 literal days. Here in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible reads, "And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." Then in verse 8, "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." In verse number 13, "And the evening and the morning were the third day." In verse number 19, "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." In verse number 23, the Bible reads once again, "And the evening and the morning were the fifth day." And last but not least, verse number 31 of chapter 1, it reads, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God created all things in 6 literal days. 6 literal 24-hour days. God being all-powerful, God being all-wise and all-knowing, God brought everything into existence, and within the pages of the book of Genesis, we have the question answered concerning the origins of the universe, and the Bible teaches us that God created all things in 6 literal days, and the morning and the evening were day 1 and day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5 and day 6. God did not need thousands of years to create. My Bible teaches me that God spoke and the world was created by the very voice of Almighty God. So we have within the pages of Genesis the origin of all things. And we as the people of God need to treasure and honour the Word of God that gives us light and gives us directions and answers the questions of today. People are full of questions, my friend. Maybe you're full of questions. Well, may I answer the foremost question, and that is that God is the originator of the universe and everything therein. God spoke the world into existence out of nothing. And in Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 6, we don't have time to go there, but the Bible teaches us that God's creation is undeniable, the evidence that there is a God, and God's witness of creation has no limitations, and it's understandable by all. All can see and view the beauty of creation, and that points to a supernatural God. And that witness is universal, and it certainly is unique. So we have the origins of the universe spelled out very clearly here within the pages of the book of Genesis. The creation of God explains the origin of the universe and all therein. And also within the book of Genesis, we have the issue of the origin of order and design, a complexity spelled out very clearly for us. Note there in Genesis chapter 1, please, verse number 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27, the Bible reads, "And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." See, order and complexity don't just happen spontaneously or by a random chance. They're always generated by a prior cause that produces order and complexity. And in Psalm 139, verse number 14, the psalmist said that, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And we see within nature, we see within the animal kingdom, we see within the makeup of you and I as mankind, we see order, we see complexity, we see design. And we have those origins here within the book of Genesis. And God tells us when he created man here in verse number 27, man was made in the image of God. The origin of order and design, complexity, it's all here spelled out within the pages of Scripture. There was no random happening down in past history, millions or billions of years ago, and out of random, spontaneous, just chance, we have all of this order and complexity and design as we see it today. That's nonsense. It takes more faith to believe in that and to believe in an eternal God who is eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing and all-presence, brings everything into existence. And we see the evidence of that today. Only this past week, somebody shared with me a testimony concerning their salvation. This person has only been a Christian for just on 6 months, and the person said to me, "Pastor, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. Before I was a Christian, life did not make sense, but it makes sense to me now." And that's just 6 months into his Christian life. Good start, I say. That's a good start. And also we see within the book of Genesis not only the origin of the universe, that God created all things, and we see order, we see design, we see complexity, but also we have the origin of the solar system. It's all spelled out for us here within the pages of Scripture, specifically here within the book of Genesis. Look at chapter 1, verse number 16, please. Genesis chapter 1, verse 16 reads, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night." So God made the sun, God made the moon, and he made the stars also. Threw in some stars as well. Countless stars. Only God knows how many stars he created. The science world is yet to know the extent of all the stars that are in the heavenlies. The origin of the solar system is clearly spelled out within the pages of Scripture. Otherwise, how does the science world today explain the origin of the solar system? Well, my Bible tells me that God created all things God is the origin, the creator, the solar system. God is the origin of life itself. Note there in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, please. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God who is eternal, and God who is eternal life, imparts life to mankind, imparts life to all of his creation. And the Bible teaches us here in verse number 7 that God breathed into man life, the breath of life. Life births life. God who is alive, God who is eternal, created life. Where does life have its origin? Life has its origin with God. Otherwise, how do you explain non-living becoming life-giving? That's ridiculous. I used to love sharing that principle with my scripture classes over the years, and I used to enjoy using just a school desk just to illustrate the fact that this school desk has no life in it. You can kick it, you can sit on it, you can do whatever you want to it, but it will not convey any life. It's non-living. And I would say to my students, evolution would teach the theory that this non-life over a period of time would become life. That's nonsense. And the students seem to have liked that illustration for whatever reason. I guess they didn't like school desks. So they just thought it was a great illustration. How can life come from non-life? No, it's not possible. Life comes from life. Life births life. And God is the origin of life. And here within the pages of Scripture, within this very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, we not only have the origin of the solar system and the universe and design and complexity, but we have the origin of life. God is life. Jesus Christ said, "I've come to give life and life more abundantly." And my friend, this morning, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Where are you at this morning? Do you have life eternal? You were born into this world once, but my Bible teaches me that I need to be born again in order to enter God's kingdom, to see the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "You must be born again." That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And my friend, the God of life, who brought life into existence, who birthed life, wants to give you eternal life. He is life eternal. And within the pages of the book of Genesis, we have the origin of life. It is just so critically important that you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, believe this foundational book. Believe the teachings of this foundational book at face value. You and I do not need to understand how God spoke the world into existence in six literal 24-hour days. In fact, God could have spoken the world into existence in one day. He could have spoken the world into existence in a second, in less than a second, but he chose six literal days. And we, by faith, to simply believe what God has said. With God, nothing is impossible. And I'm afraid there are many of God's people that are being hindered spiritually because they will not accept the teachings of the book of Genesis at face value. And I exhort you, child of God, to believe what God has said, because God is God. He is all-powerful, He is all-knowing, He is all-present, so God is able to do above and beyond that which we might ask or think. He is the origin of all, the origin of life. The Bible teaches us, as we've already read there in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27, that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, gives us not only the origin of life, it gives us the origin of man. The Bible teaches that man was created in the image of God. Mankind has the ability to read and write and think logically, add and show love and affection. Why? Because we're made in the image of God. At times we fail, but we have that ability because we are made in the image of God. Man has the ability to worship the Creator. This is part of His design. We were created to worship our Creator. God made them male and female. You won't find the animal kingdom worshipping God. There are some churches that are having special services for pets. That's a waste of time. Absolute waste of time, because that dog or cat has absolutely no idea. They cannot worship God. They do not have a spiritual dimension. That's absolute nonsense. See? God made man in His image, and therefore we have the capacity, the ability to worship. You won't find that within the animal kingdom. We have the origin of marriage, the family, here within the pages of Genesis as well. Genesis chapter 2, please. Verse number 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 24, the Bible reads, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." God ordained marriage between one man and one woman for life, at the exclusion of all others. So we have the origin of marriage, the family unit, here within the pages of the book of Genesis. It is between one man and one woman. It is not between two men. It is not between two women. That's an abomination to the marriage institution that God ordained. It's between one man and one woman for life at the exclusion of all others. Marriage is God's idea. It wasn't invented in some laboratory. It's God's ideal. And it is within the marriage union that husband and wife are to bear children as God enables them. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, the Bible teaches us that marriage is honourable in all things, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now we see reproduction within the animal kingdom, but we don't see the love and commitment of marriage to a spouse within the animal kingdom. You won't find it. And the more man is in denial of the God of creation, he will act like the animal kingdom, out to fulfill the lusts of the flesh without any commitment to the family unit. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to hold dearly to the fact that God ordained marriage. God ordained the marriage. And God ordained the family. And for you and I that are married, we ought to treasure that relationship as a relationship above any other human relationship. God ordained it. And for you young people that are yet to get married, let me encourage you to just wait upon the Lord. And wait for that choosing of God for you. You might establish a Christian home for the glory of God. We find marriage and the family here within the pages of the book of Genesis. Of course, we have the origin of sin spelled out here within the pages of the book of Genesis. There in Genesis chapter 3, the Bible gives us the account of the fall of man. How Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, and thereby, because of their disobedience, sin entered the world. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 verse 12, the Bible reads, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Bible teaches that the disobedience of Adam and Eve, but it's via their disobedience there in the book of Genesis that sin entered into the world and death by sin. Look at verse 18, please, of Romans 5. It reads, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law, that is, the offense, might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That," verse 21, "that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." The origin of sin. The Bible explains the origin of sin. There are those that would be ignorant enough to deny the reality of sin, the reality of evil in the world. Like the religion of Islam. Do you realize that Islam denies that man is sinful? So to tell to a Muslim that you need to be born again, you need a savior, they would ask the question, what for? Well, you're sinful. No, I'm not. Man's not sinful. And there are people just like those that follow Islam that deny the reality that man is wicked before a holy God, in need of redemption, in need of salvation. And with the engines of sin into the world, we would expect to see and experience death, pain, evil, hurt, suffering, tragedy, hardship, disease, hunger, and sorrow, would we not? So what do we see in the world? Death, pain, evil, hurt, suffering, tragedy, hardship, disease, hunger, and sorrow. Why? Because of the entrance of sin into the world. Otherwise, how do you explain all the above? How do you explain death? How do you explain disease? How do you explain suffering, etc.? But Romans chapter 6 verse 23 teaches us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And even though sin entered within the pages of the book of Genesis, it's recorded, God has provided a Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. So by one man's disobedience, death passed upon all men, but by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, the Savior, you and I can be forgiven and have life eternal. And last but not least this morning, the origin of law and order is found within the pages of the book of Genesis. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. We see law and order has its origin here within the pages of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, the Bible reads, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So we see law and order. God gives us consequences for disobedience, and God promises blessing for obedience. And basically, Adam just had to fulfill one commandment, one law, in order to maintain order within the Garden of Eden, not to eat of that forbidden fruit. And yet, with just that one simple law, he violated the Word of God. And we've been paying for it ever since, have we not? And because of Adam and Eve's violation of God's law, the Bible teaches us they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. There in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And in the fullness of time, God set in stone the standards of law and order, which we refer to as the Ten Commandments. And it is these foundational standards that are the basis for our moral and civil laws today. And these laws are inscribed upon our hearts, the Bible teaches us. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible teaches us that we have the witness of the law upon our hearts. Man knows what is right, and man knows what is wrong. He knows it from within. You don't need to convince anybody that murder is wrong. We know it's wrong. We know it's right to love. We know it's right to honour and obey our parents. We know it's wrong to be rebellious. We have that law engraved in our hearts. We find within the book of Genesis the origin of law and order. And God simply said to Adam, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." "Help yourself," said God to Adam. "Help yourself. But if this one particular tree, if you eat thereof, you will surely die." God establishes law and order. And my friend, this morning, it's within the pages of Scripture. It's within the pages of the book of Genesis. We have the origin of all things, the origin of the universe, the origin of order, design, complexity, the origin of the solar system, the origin of life, of man, marriage, family, the origin of sin, and the origin of law and order. God promises to bless obedience, and God promises to judge disobedience. My friend, this morning the Bible teaches us it's appointed unto mankind once to die, but after this, the judgment. And I trust and pray this morning, if you've yet to receive Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour, to you I say, my friend, the wages of sin is death. One way or another, we're all going to die. Whether it's by ill health, or whether it be by tragedy, and we have today, and there will be until the Lord Jesus leads us into the eternal realm, there will be death, because by sin, death entered the world. But I am so thankful that Jesus Christ came and was born of a virgin, went to an old rugged cross, and upon that old rugged cross he died in my place. And he offers life eternal to all. And my friend, this morning, if you've yet to receive that gift of God, which is eternal life, I'd like to charge you this morning. Encourage you this morning. Plead with you this morning. Receive that life eternal. Because eventually you and I will die. No matter how much you might look after yourself, no matter how many multivitamins you might pop, or how many walks you involved in a week, or how many beetroot juices you consume, or celery juice, or how many times you go to the gym, or whatever, you will die eventually. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this body is perishing one way or another, but thank God one day we'll be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall be changed into His glorious image. What a wonderful hope that is for the child of God. Do you have that hope? Do you have that hope? See, when you read through the scriptures and you just read through the book of Genesis, you'll see that it all makes sense. My friend, this morning I'd like to plead with you to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And for those of us that are Christians, I'd like to close with this little challenge, child of God. And that is that God established law and order. God established law and order. Obedience leads to blessing. Disobedience leads to judgment. And child of God, I'd like to plead with you, seek the pathway of blessing. Seek the pathway of blessing by walking in obedience to the Word of God. Blessings come to the obedient. Judgment will be the fruit of disobedience. God established law and order. And the book of beginnings, and then throughout the rest of the pages of the scripture, God teaches us how to live. Let's not question it. Let's believe it. Let's obey it. And then we'll appreciate what Jesus said, that I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Are you experiencing that abundant Christian life? The secret is obedience to His Word. Let's bow for prayer. Could please stand with me for a moment as we prepare to end our service this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll stress the fact that the book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. And people of God, I'd like to encourage you to just accept by faith what God has said in His Word, that God is the origin of all things. And thereby, let's honor Him by a life of obedience. Are you walking in obedience to God's Word? Are you determined to live a life of obedience? Obedience equals blessing.